finished a sermon I started last week. I tried to because it's gotten bigger and bigger, and it always does. But we're going to kind of start that way and finish it today. But we're talking about help. My help is here. My help is here. How many of you, by the showing of your hands and you're showing them to God, you would say that somewhere in your life you need some help from God? Whether it be your personal life, your children, or somebody. Look like 100% here. If you need to preach today if you've got it all together, amen. We all need something. And that's all right. Sometimes we get in our mind, charismatic folks do, that we can't come to church. We can't come to church if we have a need. We got it all together. Listen, charismatic folks are, and I'm one of them, been with them. I was birthed in this move, Holy Ghost, charismatic church. Some charismatic folks just flaky. They're like cornflakes, you know. They always got the answer for everything. I don't. And I'm afraid of people who've always got it together. Amen. I don't think there's anybody here, that one person ever lived on this earth as we know it, was Jesus. And Jesus had it all together. Other than that, we're growing into His statue. Amen? So I think I'm at the right place. I think I'm preaching the right time sermon this morning. Every one of us needs help. Psalms 121 verse 1 says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Say, that's good news. People forget you. Somebody's always going to sleep in your life. Amen. By the time you need them, they're slumbering. They're sleeping. Where are they? Where are they? Where is he when I need him, right? Where are they when I need them? Right? But God's always there. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He is our present help, as the worship song says, in time of trouble. I mean to tell you, present help. I said present help. As Brother Joe said, he's not some... Or I forget. We've got so good preachers here. Somebody said he's not up a million miles away in heaven, waiting for you to get him convinced to come and help you out. That's his nature. He helps us in our present time of trouble. I mean, your mind will play a game on you, because when you're in trouble, you think, well, I'm in so deep trouble, I know the Lord ain't here, but the Bible says the Lord never leaves us and never forsakes us. And he never goes to sleep. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How many of you know about going to sleep? As the older I get, I miss my movies. Dadgummit. I'll start on a movie and Penny will be... I'll wake up and the TV is just as loud as it can be. So what do you got it so loud for? I couldn't hear it for you snoring. And the other night I went to sleep. I don't know how many times we were watching a movie and she waked me up. You better look at this. I'm not going to tell you how it ended. And I'm waking up. I'm awake. And I'd be gone to sleep. She punched me. I'm telling you now, I'm not going to tell you how it ended. So she just let me go and I woke up and she's gone to bed. She said, I'm not telling you. So I don't know how that done. You meanie pot that wouldn't tell me, but she warned me. But the Lord never slumbers, never sleeps. He's a God on time God. And he is motivated to help us in time of trouble. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 11. So that's what we're talking about. Your help is here. Turn and tell somebody that. Your help is here. You don't have to fret over it. Tell them. Don't fret over it. The helper's here. The Lord God Almighty is here. He never slumbers and sleeps. Help me preach. He's always on time. May not be today, but he's on time. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 11. Let's start with verse 1. We'll read down to verse 6. Then Nahash the Ammonite, And the Ammonites were the enemies of Israel. The enemies of Israel came up and camped against Jabesh, Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us and we will serve thee. I want you to notice something. This is the enemies of God, Israel, and they're coming up. And they make trying to make a deal with Israel. And they say a covenant is a deal or a treaty. And they're telling Israel here, if you will make a covenant with us, that's what they said. Well, Israel's saying to the enemy, because they're afraid, Israel's saying to the enemy, if we'll make a deal with you, if you make a deal with us and not kill us, that's what they're saying, we'll serve you. Israel did not want to fight. Put that in your mind. Israel did not want to fight the battle. Verse 2. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant or treaty or deal with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and say, oh me, and lay it for a reproach or shame upon all Israel. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite that we may send messengers unto all the coast of Israel. And then if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. So here again, Israel's trying to keep the enemy from destroying them. And they said, give us 7 days if we can just get somebody to help us. Then came the messages to Gibe of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field, and Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came unto Saul when he heard those things, and his anger was kindled greatly. You got it rolling, right? Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Keep your place here. We'll be coming back and referring to it as we go. Amen. Yes. Now, we've already said this, not only is this year the year of breakthrough, which breakthrough is mean breaking through obstacles, things that have been in your life for a long period of time. And we believe that this is a year, 2010, because 10 means the full circle. 10 means that ending of a decade and beginning of a new. And we believe that this is something new in the making, that we can break through those obstacles. Yes. And God knows, we know, God knows that we need help in breaking through. Right. If we didn't need help in breaking through, we would already have broke through. So if you're breaking through something, it means, you know, something you've had for years, some situation, some health problem, some family problem. Most of the time it's just me, breaking through my own self. I limit God. I don't know about you. I limit God. And sometimes I need to break through that mindset of legalistic thinking, or whatever I grew up in, or how I was raised, or what condition I was in when I was small. All that affects us later on in life. You know, my mama told me, my daddy told me, and that's fine. I'm not belittling mama and daddy, but who told mama and daddy? Trace it back. Did they get the information from God, or they got the information from their mama and daddy? Who got it from Uncle John or Aunt Harry? And all these things grow up in your life. And before you know it, you're living a life that's not really God's, God appointed time for you. So we need breakthroughs. Yeah. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
If you get in here with me, we're going to see something today. I feel the anointing coming, man. And when the anointing breaks the yoke, lift the burdens. Without it, we're no different from the Owl Club, Moose Club. We might as well go turn the TV on and watch Days of Our Life and get some information. The anointing is what we need in the house of God. Amen. So the anointing is when we let the Holy Spirit move. And that's what's going to happen today. Anyway, a breakthrough year. We could also name this year it's the year of help. Yeah. The year of help. This year, this is the mindset you're going to have to have a breakthrough. This year is the year that God is going to help me break through.
Yes.
You've got to look for His help. You've got to desire His help. You've got to want His help. And that's what I say in our nation. We instead of fussing about who's in charge and fussing about what's going on, we need to do what the Word says and ask for help.
Amen.
Pray for those in authority over us. And the truth of the matter is the church ain't prayed for that for years. And here we are. We're faithing what we have not prayed for. And now we got to speed up and get on the plan and pray and vote and do everything we need to do. Amen. Yeah. Turn and tell somebody, wake up. Life is changing. It's that's not the good old days no more. It's a present time. You're living in the present time. Don't ever forget that. Yesterday ain't going to do you no good. Tomorrow you ain't got to. You are a present time person. Whatever you want to change has to change in your life at the present moment. Hope gets you down the road, but it never changes anything. Past, it most people's past is burdensome. Pain when you look at your past in most cases. So now, in the good old now, is the time we make change. And this is the time we need help right now. Say, we need help right now. Hey, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. This is the time. Nahash was the enemy of the Lord. People. And the enemy wanted to actually not only pluck out the eyes, that was just a start. You know, you let somebody pluck out your eye, man, it won't be long, they'll cut your throat. And what Israel was trying to do here, because of fear, they wanted to make a deal, a covenant with the enemy. They wanted to sleep with the enemy, so to speak. They wanted to have a deal. I want to tell you something, young folk and older folk, because we continuously try to make deals with the devil. The devil don't have no good deals out there. He starts, yeah, they look good, smell good, and it may be good for the one moment. Sin is pleasurable, but it won't be long till the devil will pluck out your right eye and then cut your throat. He never delays his battles in your life. He is the real enemy of our life. Yeah. I'm not your enemy. You're not my enemy. Right. Church is not my enemy. But the devil is my enemy. Yeah. If I'm a child of God, there's only one enemy we are to fight. The Bible says we're not to wrestle against. Ephesians 6:12 says we're not to wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's our enemy. The devil is our enemy. I don't like to give him any glory, but we need to be wise at his tricks. You can't make a deal with the devil and win. I don't think church folks realize the devil can bless you. But then he'll take it away from you. See, he'll bless you with a boat so you can miss church on Sunday. God didn't bless you with that boat. Oh, I want to fish. God, send me a boat. I pray for a boat. You get the boat and you don't go back to church. God don't work that way. It won't be long. So here's what happens. You'll be on the boat. You'll be out there every Sunday and your spiritual life will be going downhill and you'll lose. It won't be long. That boat be having some good looking woman in that boat with you. All not being there. Y'all don't shout me down. That's the way sin is. Sin, it makes it worse. Amen. So you got to watch out. The devil is our enemy. He's out to pluck your eyes out. Because if he can get you blind, then you cannot see. And he wants you blind to the Word of God. He doesn't care how much you shout. He doesn't care how much you dance or how much you come to church or how much money you put in the pocket. He don't want you to know the truth because the truth will make you free of him. Amen. Jesus didn't use the tambourine or anything else. I'm not talking about your tambourine. He didn't use any instrument, and nothing wrong with instruments. And we know instruments praise the Lord and opens up tools or weapons of warfare against the enemy. But Jesus did not pick up a tambourine or a guitar or a harp or sing a song. The Lord's with me today. He used the Word. He said, men shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So the devil, who is a type of Nabash, wants to come and pluck your eyes out. So you can't see the Word. So you'll have sin. Sin blinds. We spoke about that last week. Sin will blind you to spiritual things. And I know, you know, people love the Lord. They don't intend that to happen. But you're carried away with temptation. And when temptation comes, it brings forth in your life sin. And sin blinds. It puts out the lights of God. Blind people stumble. In the natural, blind people have to be led. And that's what gets me, I'll just say it and move on. That's what gets me about God's people always wanting to be led. You must be blind then. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. I'm going to put a 50-pound piece of lead in my office because the Lord lead me away. Here, you want to feel what leading is? Here's some lead. Amen. Whatever. That's moving right on. This preacher knows what I'm talking about. You've had them in your office. When they say that, when people come into my office and they say, I've been led by God, that ends my conversation. If they come into my office and say, Pastor, what do you think about this? And I have a right to say. But any of you say you heard the Lord, what can I say? You didn't hear Him? No, I don't say that. Amen. That's another subject. Let's move right along. Move right along. Say, moving right along. And here's the thought. Not only did Nabash, this man, want to pluck out the eyes of Israel, make them blind. He wanted to embarrass them. Wanted to bring shame upon their life. Amen. And Israel was just getting ready to let it happen. Do you know you can't win a battle without a fight? Oh, man. Help me, Sister Pants. Say some amens, because I got to really talk about fighting this morning. General. You know about fighting, General Pam. You know, God's people, it's amazing how much we will fight for the things of the world, so to speak. Don't let nobody get in front of me at McDonald's. I'm fixing to order. Well, how dare them to pull out in front of me? Yeah. Just like, run up there and blow your horn like you're a maniac. I'm preaching now. Yeah. Let somebody move in front of you in the checkout line. You want to fight. But when the devil shows up at your house, when he wants to rob your family of your children, when he wants to put sickness and disease on you, when he wants to take everything you got, you sit back and say, wait a minute. No, sir, you can't win a battle without a good old fight. Amen. Glory to God. Ain't you tired of the devil robbing from you? Glory to God. I'm tired of it. I'm tired myself of watching the devil rob from some of you. Makes me mad. Makes me sick at my stomach. I want to run up to you and say, put your hands up. You need to fight the devil. Say, I need to fight the devil. Most people don't want to fight because they've lost so many battles. But listen, you can win one. All you got to do is win one, and man, you get some ammunition. Our brother was talking about tests. Why you got so many tests? I tell you why, because you didn't pass the first one. See, God is the teacher of all teachers. He wants you to pass the course. He doesn't place you. What's that new rule, Doris, that we have that you got to, that people continue on up? What is it? No child left behind is not God's plan. God don't want to leave you behind. He'll let you take the test and the test until you pass the test. Now here's the good thing. He wants the devil to kill you, but you can kill yourself. He'll rob, but if you pass the test, God will restore what the canker worm has ate up in your life. See, God's a restorer, not a taker. The devil takes. But if you don't fight the battle, you'll have it again. If you don't pass the test, you take the test over and over and over. And when you lose a lot of them, pain is in all that. See, And I said last week, you know, and I'm understanding this, and God's going to work it out. I've been through this years ago, but it kind of got off base when we went through deliverance. I guess we got like we were psychologists. We got a little smart, and we had to know everything and every detail. And we had to, instead of saying, in the name of Jesus, putting your hand on them and believing what you say and having authority, I command the devils to leave. We had to know about all the devils. And we got in our back rooms. You may not have went through it. And the biggest message you ever heard of, men telling preachers, women telling preachers they were lonely until they're casting out the devil. The preacher had a problem, and he made up for the loneliness. You know what I mean? In the back room. I don't need to know what the devil's doing to you. I need to have the authority and the know-how in my life to cast him out of your life. Many, many, many of God's people are under bondage of pain. And that's why they can't move to the future. You can't carry your pain to your dream. Is that right, Pam? You can't carry that mess to your dream. God won't let you. You can try, but God, you know, you got to go through some things to get to the inner court. You got to be washed up. Now, I'm not talking about legalistic. I'm talking about pain this morning. A lot of God's people need to be delivered from pain and shame. You're one-eyed. Your eye's been plucked out by the devil, one eye. You can halfway see. Amen. You can't tell me about sheep now. I've been around them 50 years. Remember, God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy. I'm going to change the second one. That's a country song. God is great. Coca-Cola's are good. Pepsi's Dr. Pepper. But people sometimes act weird. I'll say it more better. You ever met somebody? Well, God's people, it's true. And I'm not belittling. I'm not calling no names. I'm talking the truth here. Or one-eyed most of the time. They can't see. You have to try to convince them that God's good. We're still trying to convince people that God's good. God Almighty, He's good. I learned that in 1981, dying on the pavement. That's what changed my whole life, my whole legalistic life, my whole bondage with how I felt about God. When God let me live that day, I saw the goodness. And the Bible says it's the goodness of God that bringeth us to repentance. And if you don't see God as good, you can't have a mind change. Repentance is a mind. You got to see God good. Say, God's good.
God's good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
God's good.
But pain will rob you of your breakthrough. And you got to work through that. You might have to have some deliverance. And that's all right. That might be need to gather around some people that you trust, that you know the Holy Ghost, and they can anoint your head. I've been in many of those services. I had to get delivered myself. Man, I used to have the devil show up at my house. When I came into the kingdom in 1981, I get up in the middle of the night, turn the lights on. I heard voices. I mean, the devil didn't want me to be in the kingdom of God. And he tormented me until I got delivered. My wife had got on top of me and prayed me through a couple of times. Because I said, I'm going nuts. I hear the devil pray for me. And she climbed on top of me and she quote the word of God. And she'd scream out and she'd pray for me until we broke that. Penny's been that way. She's been depressed by the spirit of depression. I used to call her out of the congregation when I'm preaching. I said, come up here. We're going to get rid of it. And I pray and I pray and I pray. But one day, hallelujah, that spirit finally left her because glory to God, she got delivered.
Amen.
Of course, you know, we don't need nobody to deliver us. Been married 7 times. Fixing to be married number 8. No, I don't need nobody talking to me about marriage. I don't got no problem. You ain't work. You can't hold on a job. I'm preaching right now. You couldn't work in a pie factory. I don't got no problem. I'm a good worker. You need delivered. Ain't nobody called you in 10 weeks. You know why? Because you bad. You need delivered. You be delivered. I know I'm talking about something I know. You didn't know me before I met Jesus. You would have not liked me. You would have hated me. Me and Brother Jeff loved us. Look at some of the old pictures. You'll find out who we loved. We had sideburns and all our hair was in place. And me and him every Friday would go down at the number one clothing store in Griffin. And the man would already have our clothes picked out. We was going to put on a charge account. All my money went for me. All his money went for him. But thank God, God changed that. He delivered us from the love of ourself and put love in us for people. Amen. So most of God's people need some type of deliverance through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Here's what I want you to know this morning. No matter if you want to fight a battle or not, the devil wants to fight. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He's Johnny on the job. Amen. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 and 9 said, "Be sober, be vigilant," talking to us, "because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith." He's looking for people who he may devour. People who will line up with him and say, "Okay, devil, come and pluck my eye out, but just let me live. I'm preaching to you. Come, devil, just pluck my eye out." Like Liz Israel said, "Come on, I'll make friends with you. Just don't hurt me." Glory to God, I'm ready for a good old fight. I'm ready for a good old fight. You got to be ready. I used to stand up in the pulpit, they'll tell you, and I used to holler out, "Come on, devil, come after me." My daddy said, you better be quiet. And it wasn't long, he came after me, but I won the battle. I got up after I got born again. I just got burned. I was in the hospital 48 days. Man, I had wore Job uniform, you know, and I skin and bones, and I got right with God, and I stand up and says, "Whatever it takes, I want to be more like him." We sang that song. Bam. I had diarrhea for 9 months. Had to go in Emory 3 or 4 times, like the dad. "Whatever it takes, just do it. I'll become more humble." No, I've already learned, humble yourself under the mighty of God. I don't need diarrhea to be humble. No. Say no, preacher. I don't need to be burned to be humble. I'm humble. By Brother Joe. And I know he preached about humility, right? The Message Bible says, "Run hard and fast in the faith." When is the last time you sweated in your faith? I mean, when is the last time you really stood up for something you believe until you felt sweaty in your faith? When is the last time you stood up and really felt good at yourself because you made a decision to do something that was right? You didn't give in to Nabash. You didn't give in to the plucking out of one eye. You stood firm in the battle of your faith. See, the devil, like I said, comes about seeking. And as long as he can gulp you up, and the word "gulp" there means to make you dumb, muted, to mute your mouth. Look it up in the Greek. It means to mute. It means to be as a fainted person. A fainted person is not going to carry on a conversation with you. They fainted. They're dead, right? Well, that's what it means. It means like a lifeless, dead person. He comes and seeks out those who... I'll just tell you what he said. He's seeking out those he can win over. He ain't got time to fool with all of us. If he can't win, he moves on. He don't care. He feeds off your fear. Feeds off your disobedience. And feeds off laziness. And lack of knowledge he feeds off. You just don't know who you are. See, we think we can just throw the towel in with the devil and he'll leave you alone. Don't work that way. It comes. Say it comes. About. All the time he does. Seeking you. Seeking those he can whoop up on. Amen. Run hard. Work up a sweat in your faith. Run hard and fast in your faith. Seize the eternal life. The life you were called to. The life you so frequently embraced in the presence of so many witnesses. Now, I'm not going to work us over, but the early Christians know exactly what that meant. It cost them their lives. Big difference. Thank God for Jesus. Say, thank God for Jesus. See, nobody in this room has to die to prove a thing. I know the Bible says die to sin. That means quit sinning. You don't have to physically die to prove to God you love them. Somebody died for us. Amen. And the apostles died for the faith. And there are many missionaries. Listen, there are many. Go on the internet and find out how many missionaries. Thousands of missionaries die every week preaching the gospel in foreign countries while we sit here and don't want to work up a sweat in the battle. Some of us can't even fight the battle over the TV changer. No, we shouldn't be looking at that movie. No, we shouldn't be watching that program. It doesn't uplift God. Thank God for Penny. Penny seemed to be sweet, but they were moving. My children will tell you, there were things their mama would put her foot down and she wouldn't let them watch those crazy things on TV. They wanted to. They might have slipped off. But at the house, Mama, Miss Penny walking through, no, you're not watching it in this house.
That's right.
What's them little things? And Bart, what's his name? Simpson. Oh, that was popular. Not in my house. Not in my house. We don't watch those Days of Our Lives, World Turns, Upside Down. No, we didn't. People just open their... It's amazing how we open the door up to the devil. And all the time we're not fighting a bit. Come on in, rob my children of the future. Come on in, take all their dreams away. Come on in, get them pregnant. Get them raped. Get them all this. Come on in, devil. I'm not preaching about nobody. I'm preaching. I know this is not friendly user stuff, but hallelujah. If God builds a church, it ain't much fight in keeping it full. There are people who need to know the truth. Your children need to know whether you'll tell them or not. Somebody will tell them it ain't right to watch those kind of things on TV and pattern your life and buy those little old things you wear around all day long. You wouldn't put on a cross for $1 million, but you'll put one of them old things saying from them on yourself. I can't think of what the saying is. On the back of these truckies, they got these little pictures of somebody peeing. Ain't life more than somebody peeing? You got something else to betray. Mercy. Say mercy.
Mercy.
You know what I'm talking about? We wouldn't send our kids to school with a cross, but you send them with a t-shirt that says something that's against God. Or let them go out the door with something on it that's against the will of God. You wouldn't dare put a cross on them and say, let them show that Jesus died on the cross. Playing with the devil. Sleeping with the devil. Say sleeping with the devil. You can't let your children. You cannot. While I'm on it, I'm just going to tell you, you can't let your children make their decisions about their life. They are called children. Children, children, children. As far as I know, and I was trained this way, mom and dad run the house. If they don't like the way the house is run, they can live somewhere else. But for me to open my house up and let my children decide if they want to come to church and what they want to wear and how they look and show their tail end and all, and me look at them, ain't no living way I'm going to do that. Ain't no living way. Ain't no living way. Thank God my mama watched out what I wore, what I said, where I went. I had to be home at 11 o'clock when I was 21 years old. If I wasn't home, I had to call. I made many a call from Penny's house up the road, 3 or 4 blocks. I said, I'm coming. I'll be home. I'll be home. My mom be waiting up for me. Thank God. What would I turn out to be, Brother Jeff? And had somebody cared enough to tell me that's wrong. Oh, I got off on the clothesline there, but I'm on. We were talking about clothesline preachers the other day. You know how I did. I want to jump out of the car sometimes. I have convictions that I can't. I mean, they're in me. What can I do about them? I mean, I want some of these little guys wearing their breeches down to the, you know, walking down the road. I want to jump out of my car sometimes. And I want to run up there right behind them and just grab the thing. Woo! Right up through there. Change their voice, you know, to an octave high. So just, you know, I can't do that. I can't. But their mom and daddy could have. Their mom and daddy could have. You like that, Lucius? Somebody asked him about his breeches the other day, and he said, wait a minute. I ain't been able to buy no clothes. I'm going to buy you some clothes. He said, these were given to me. I got them from places about 3 sizes too big. I'm not one of those, what do you call them when they wear them down that way? Busting breeches. I'm not that type of person. I don't know what girls think about that. That is just unbelievable. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight. Fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life whereunto thou art also called. And hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. See, the devil wants you. Nabesh wanted to pluck out their eyes and shame them. Yeah. See, the devil wants you to be ashamed of your faith. Yeah. See, there's nothing like a good old faith fight. What's a faith fight? It's saying when you're so sick and you look like you're going to die, your faith speaks, by his stripes I'm healed. Yeah. That's a faith fight. Yeah. It's when they're taking away your house and your foreclosure. And you're sitting down there in the car waiting, you know, for it to happen. You say, well, you know, it may look like a mess, but God's going to take this mess and make a message out of it. Yes. It may look bad today, but tomorrow it's going to look a whole lot better. And I trust God enough to know that this wasn't my house, that God's got something better for me. I know what I'm talking about. I've had it taken away and got something better for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Because my heart, I was fighting the good fight. It is embarrassing when you're a person of faith and you get a cold. If you're really a person of faith, or you got to go to the doctor and have some things done. But listen, that's the fight of faith. It may look that way. I mean, faith does not say deny what you see. See, that's where people get all screwy about faith. Faith does not say deny what you see. Faith says, speak to what you see. Yeah. Speak the word of God into what you see and it'll change. Yeah. It doesn't say deny that you got a cold. You don't have to say you got a cold. But what you got to say, by his stripes, I'm healed. Yeah. Anytime I ever sneeze, I say, glory to God, hallelujah. Some people say, bless you. I say, glory to God, hallelujah. By his stripes, I'm healed. Amen. That's the fight of faith that we all have to fight. And it seems crazy. It is crazy. Because people say, you're lying. That's what I'm saying. They say, you're lying. You are sick. Well, I got these things on me. But God says He sent His Word and healed me and delivered me from all my destruction. Now, what am I going to say? The Lord healed me or I got it? I'd rather say the Lord's healed me. You can have it. I don't want it. You won't ever hear me say I got a cold. I'd be, if it's foaming out of my mouth, I'd say, oh, He sent His Word and healed me and delivered me. Himself took my infirmities and bare my sickness. Surely He bore my grief, carried my sorrow, yet did I esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquities, chastised for my peace upon Him, and by His stripes I am healed. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver us out of them all. I'm the head, not the tail. Hey, I'm blessed going in, blessed going out. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed in the storehouse. I'm a blessed man, regardless of what's in my pocketbook. That's what He said. Say, that's what He said. See, my faith sees beyond my momentary loss. That's what faith does. Faith cries out that it looks bad, but God is good. God has something better for me. Help's on the way. Help is already here. Say that with me. Verse 5 says, and behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field, and Saul said, what aideth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh, and the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God. Say the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. Listen, I'm telling us, we need to have that Holy Ghost anger. We need to have that Holy Ghost anger sometime. Glory to God. God's looking for, especially in this time, for us to rise up in that holy anger and put an end to some of this stuff going on around us. Do you know it's all right to tell the devil he can't? Amen. Instead of crying over it and moaning over it and fasting over it and whatever over it, just rise up with that anger, Holy Ghost anger, and say, no, you ain't. Get the hell out of here, devil. I'm fixing to whoop your butt. Get out of here, devil. Now some of you got quiet because Pastor Mike said butt in hell. Bless your darling heart. Sometimes you got to give the devil his own language. Go back to hell where you're supposed to be. You're destined for hell, devil. Hell with you, devil. I'm not cussing. No cussing in me. You live around me. You push me, hit me. I won't. If you run out in front of me, I don't say those words. But sometimes you have to have Holy Ghost anger and put a stop to the stuff. Say, put a stop to the stuff. Hadn't been for Saul having that Holy Ghost anger rising up and going back. And I tell you what he did in a few minutes. Hadn't been for that one man that rose up in that holy anger. All of Israel lost their life, right eye, and had been shamed before all the nations of the world. It would have changed the course of history.
That's right.
Yes, it would have.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sirree. This is a breakthrough year. It's important you let that Holy Ghost rise up in you. Because what you tolerate, you will never break through. What you put up with will always be on your doorstep. You got to rise up in that holy anger of God. Not cussing, but telling the devil what God says in a voice that don't sound like you. Y'all act like some of you never got anger. Never been angry before. Come on, husband. Your wife ever been angry enough to change her voice? Everybody wise, you know when your husband, my wife told me one time, you don't look like the devil, but you so sound like him. We need to vent that stuff into our life in a righteous way, but in a bold way. That we tell the devil, you've done enough damage in my life. You took my mama. You took my daddy early. My sister died at age 57. I've already passed her, and I'm going to pass my mama and my daddy. Because he ain't taking my life from me. I have a Holy Ghost boldness that I'm going to live and not die, that I might declare the works of God. With long life, he satisfies me and shows me my salvation. He renews my youth like an eagle. So you take your bad stuff down the road. I have help. And my help cometh from above. Hallelujah. Got to get angry sometimes like Saul did. Saul got angry. Say angry.
Angry.
People didn't want to fight, but Saul did.
That's right, yeah.
That's why we need strong leaders in the pulpit. That all these little old guys would, my daddy used to say, would trimming on the drawers. They won't talk about nothing. They made the devil so big. They made the world's condition so bad that we can't change nothing. I'm here to tell you that help is here. I'm here to tell you that your mess can turn into a message. I can tell you your pain can turn into your gain. What you need to do is cry out to God, rise up in that holy boldness, and put an end to the devil being in your house. There's a song where the woman, we used to play it, and had a woman up here, Linda did it. It's called Sweeping Out the Devil.
Yeah.
Go home and get the broom and sweep the devil out of your house.
That's right. Hallelujah. Come on, Bridget. Hallelujah.
Close the door in his face.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Listen, you can make the battle as long as you want to because you're going to have one. You don't hear nothing I say today. Faith people don't like nothing to be said about battles. Listen, when the devil can find a weakness in your life, I don't care how full of faith you are. Brother Hagin and any of them, they had trouble with sickness all their life, but they stayed well. They had to fight the battle. I'm telling you, Brother Hagin used to talk about the time the devil would come in his heart, would skip a beat, and he knew he'd been healed over it. And he'd have to start claiming his healing, start talking to the devil, telling the devil he ain't going to take him out early. You got to stand up in that battle. You got to rise with that holy faith. You got to get the Holy Ghost in you. You got to get angry because the devil will fight you until he wins. You got to fight him until you win, until you get up and say with your own mouth, "You're not taking anything else from me. He'll take from you as long as you live." I don't care what kind of faith you got. You need to rise up with faith and holy boldness and tell the devil to go. You can't make friends. The devil don't bother me. You know what my daddy used to say about that? Well, the devil's got you then. If you don't have a battle once in a while, that means he's got you, buddy. I don't get up here and tell you every battle I go through. I tell you some of them when the Lord says to, but there's always something in the bush out there. Something grabbing, something wanting, something because the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. It may not be the battle I fought last week or last year, but it'll be a different battle because that's the job of the devil. He's to come to kill, steal, and destroy from your life and my life. But they, shout with me, help already here. Hallelujah. Every crisis is an opportunity to walk by faith or walk by fear. Am I going to trust God in this mess or am I going to let my fear dominate my life? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind." Listen, Sister Pam, you like this. Listen, you need to quit looking at the mess and speak to your dreams. You need to write that down somewhere. You need to quit looking at your mess and speak to your dream. Where is God saying He wants to take you? Not where you're at, not where you're living. Things can change in a moment. I know what I'm talking about. I know what help is. I know what help is. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13:5-6 says, "Let your conversation or your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave you and I never forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me." When the devil winds up at your house, and he will, you get ready to fight. You put on the whole armor of God. You step out on that porch and you tell them. There have been many, many times and many, many, many things documented how people in the midst of a storm and when the water was rising up to take their house out. There have been many people who walked out on their porch and commanded that water to stand still, and it has documented to stand still. I'm going to tell you, either you're falling or fighting. Get it in your mind. You either falling or fighting. You got to fight the good. You have to fight the good fight of faith. Paul said, "I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished my course. Henceforth they've laid up to me a crown of righteousness."
Yeah.
Why did he have a crown of righteousness? The crown that he had because he fought the faith. He fought when he needed to fight. Don't lay down like a baby. Some of you looking for a good fight? Well, then fight the devil. I'm not your enemy. Yeah. When the devil shows up at your house, you give him the best shot. Here, Saul, look what Saul did. Saul took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces, tore them up, and sent them throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of the messenger, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, in other words, who don't fight with us, so shall it be done upon this oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. Some of you didn't get that. Saul said, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to fight any old hound. I'm going to make you fight, because if you don't fight, I'm going to kill you anyway. I'm going to tear you to pieces just like I tore that ox up. So the Bible says the people came in line with one consent. I'm telling you by the Spirit, if you don't fight, you will be torn to pieces this year. You will not have a breakthrough. You'll have a break in. You will have trouble this year if you don't rise up and fight that fight of faith and lay a hold on some God's eternal thing and say to the devil, you're not doing that anymore in my life. My. Saul said, you don't fight with us, then you're an enemy. That's what God said. If you're not fighting the fight of faith, you're an enemy. You're non-effective. You'll be up in heaven in the what kind of room is that? Briefing room for a million years. Trying to learn faith. Trying to learn who you are. You'll get into heaven by the skin of your teeth, but I want to live on a mansion street. I want to live on Park Avenue. Amen. I want to live up there beside Paul and Peter and James and John. I want them to know I'm a fighter too. I want them to know the devil didn't take my head off or pluck out my eye. I stood up before him and used the word of God. Yeah. Say, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Verse 9 said, and they said unto the messengers that came, thus shall ye say unto the man of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow, by that time, the sun be hot, you shall have help. Oh, listen, yes. I'm telling you prophetically, if you'll get the Holy Ghost, a fight in you, and you get determined you can win this battle this year, tomorrow will change in your life. Yes. Oh, some of you know what I'm talking about. Tomorrow, by that time, the sun be hot, you shall have help from the Lord. And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the host in the morning watch and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. Listen to me. This year, God wants to help you in places that you cannot help yourself. Shout with me, help has showed up. Jesus said in Matthew, where two agree touching anything on the earth, the acts of the Father, it shall be done. The Bible says that one can make 1,000 to flight, two can take 10,000 to flight. How many of you think we can take the flight if all of us agree with what God is saying this morning? That we're going to stand and we're going to fight the devil. We're going to fight our circumstances with the Word of God. We can put the devil to flight. Millions of the demons have to leave. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Give me a hallelujah. I got plenty of more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know what it is. I'm going to end on this. I'm going to give you a testimony. I got plenty of them. I'll just give you a few of them and then we'll move into what we're going to do at this end. I know what it is for the help to show up. Help showed up in my life at 3 o'clock on July the 4th, 3 o'clock in 1981, dying on the pavement in the back of my yard, me in eternity. Hung between heaven and hell, dying, burning up like a tree when help showed up. My wife walked out on that door that evening. She saw me. First image she had was me like a tree on fire. Could not even see me. The flames from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. Standing. And she fainted. But help showed up. And she fainted and went down. Strength came and she got up and she ran out. Without fear of fire, without fear of being hurt, she pushed me down and she beat those flames out all over my body and stripped my clothes off and saved my life. That's what help is.
Hallelujah.
Sunday morning, 2000, sitting on the front row of the church, a brain aneurysm bursted in Miss Penny's brain. And her brain began to fill up with blood, and excruciating pain began to form in her body. And by the time I got in the car, it was so unbearable, she kicked her shoes off and she vomited all the way to the hospital, screaming and hollering and in pain. And I know what it is from the Lord to show up on the operating table and get a phone call from the operating people, and the nurses says, surely a miracle has taken place. Your wife does not have any blood more in her brain. We're going to sew her up and send her down. She spent 1 week in the hospital and missed a Sunday morning and a Wednesday night service, and she's sitting here today without any pain, discomfort, without any mobile. She's not dead because our help showed up. Waited too late for me to know about help. Glory to God. Then August 2007, on a Sunday, in the old church, in the little old church that we'd been so much pain and financial trouble in, and we had agreed, me and Penny, that we had no other resources to get any money. We were behind on everything behind. Church payments, lost our home about 6 months prior. The next thing to be lost was the house of God. I can tell you on that Sunday morning, July the 7th, looked like we didn't have anybody here, maybe one or a couple of visitors, and we needed to have a good offering for the group called the Power of Force, sitting there, believing God, walking the faith out. I'm telling you, just in that one service, when they took the offering, the most largest offering ever been given for anybody in our total ministry was given that Sunday. And I'm telling you, because the help came from that day to this, we went from poverty to wealth. We went from lack to all the great provision God had, because our help showed up right on time. I don't know what it'd take to get you to believe your circumstances can change in a moment. You ought to be just jumping every service here. That you that's been here 14 years and know what we came from to now. Angela knows when she came here. She came out of a rich, wealthy church. She came here and she looked at the pastor. She said, I don't know about all this, but I'm telling you, she'd been here and she's seen the glory of God. She's seen what God can do and how He can take people who humble themselves before God and He can exalt them from rags to riches. Hey! I know what I'm talking about. Yeah, man, I got some ostrich shoes on. I guess it's the ostrich. What are these? What are these? They're not alligators, are they? What are they? You know? I think they're ostrich shoes. I take them off. I don't know if you've been... Go with these brothers to go shoe shopping. Some of you think the $49.95 is a high-priced shoe. My brothers that I go with, my preacher friend, they wear all these skins. They call them skins. God bless the ostrich. I know some of you said, why you kill them, put them on your foot. I didn't. Somebody gave me the shoes. I remember the first floor shine shoes somebody bought me at church. I went, this is how you get. If I give you some secret, this is how you get blessed. A member of mine one time wanted to buy me some shoes. They took me up to South Lake Mall and they had floor shine. And those shoes then were like $135 or $140. And they reached down to buy me this shoe and I said, no. I'm not putting, just here, this $59.95. That's fine for me. But see, I was humble. I didn't go in there in that place and try to pick out the high price shoe. I just wanted a new shoe. It didn't matter to me. But anyway, they bought me that floor shine shoe. My wife would tell you, within 6 weeks, that's why I don't buy expensive shoes, I had wore a hole in the bottom. And a floor shine shoe, leather. We took them back to the mall and they gave me a new pair. I said, I ain't never seen that happen in their life. That's why I never bought. I mean, so I wore those floor shine shoes. I had them redone. How many times you have them redone? Well, they take them off, throw them back on. Finally, they couldn't do it no more. I think I might have had them shoes on when I went and visited the guy that gave me these ostriches. A preacher friend of mine. I went to see him one time. I was sitting on the couch. I noticed he's looking at my shoes. And he said, I'll be back in a minute. He goes upstairs and come back with a big old sack. He had 30 pairs of shoes in it. I wear the same size he do. I got ostrich shoes. I got alligator shoes. I got probably some of your skin shoes. I don't know. I had 30. I used to have one pair of shoes. My wife will tell you how many years I have one pair. Two pairs. My good pair and the pair I wear to church. I got 30-something pairs of shoes. And I didn't buy one of them. Not a one of them. Not a one of them. Because I didn't covet. I didn't go out there and try to get somebody to buy me the best. Listen, folks in prosperity, somebody wants to buy you something. I know we had a woman come in, not here, a woman come in one time and we were going to buy her a stove and she didn't have a stove. Well, somebody bought her a stove and we called and said, well, somebody got you a stove. What can we get you in your house? He said, I want a washer and dryer, but I want the best they sell. She didn't have one. I would have bought her a good one. You know me. But when she said, I don't want nothing but the best, I said, that ain't the right kind of spirit. Take what God gives you. He'll give you the best. He'll give you what you need. She couldn't work the best. You have nothing to go to the best. They're very complicated. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Very, very, very complicated. You can't get in these new cars and just drive them. They're very, very complicated. Some of you think you got to turn the key on. You don't even use the key anymore in these new cars. You walk up to the door, it unlocks itself. You sit down and mash a button, it cranks up, and it does all these things. Man, I'm telling you, new, real good, sometimes you can't work them. Be happy with what you get. Happy. Happy. Your help will show up when you get happy with what you've got. Paul said, I'm content with whatever I have. Hey, let's stand up this morning. Amen. Help. Help is here, man. You're in the best place you can be. It is important what church you go to. It is. It is. Don't you dare leave here and go somewhere they tell you how poor you be, how poor you need to be, how many battles you need to lose before you get strong enough. Listen, you can win every battle right now, starting right now, if you'll just get the help from God. Humble yourself in the mighty hand of God and He will exalt you. When your heart is right with God, God will fight every battle in your life. Now when your heart ain't right, you're going to have to fight yourself. But when your heart's right, you know what I mean? When your heart's right, God will fight the battle for you. Glory to God. I get motivated. I watch UFC every night I can. I'm sorry. I like to see blood. Man, when they get hitting them in them nose and they get kicking them, I'm over there just inside. She's gone. She goes upstairs, turn on her TV. I'll watch it, man. Put them down. Whoop them up. They need to be better. They'll learn something from that. Now, I don't like it. We went somewhere and saw them break an arm in two. And I don't like breaking an arms in two now. I turned my head last night a little bit. I mean, he's just about just whooped that guy, just whooped him. You know what whooping is? He whooped him. Now, that's enough now. Stop the fight. It finally did. But you gotta have some fight in you, man. You let the last relationship slip away. You let the last job go because you didn't have fight in you. You moved from to a different church because you didn't you heard something you misunderstood, and rather working it out and fighting for something you believe in and fighting for the people that are around you. Just walk off and leave it. Quit walking off and leaving jobs. Quit walking off leaving churches. Quit walking off and leaving relationships. Jobs, because something ain't going your way. Stand up and fight the right way. Fight on your knees. Can I tell you that? Many battles have been won on their knees. Many battles have won in the closet with God. Anyway, the truth of the matter, God wants to fight your battle. He's conquered everyone. He's for principalities and powers and rulers of the dark. You can't live in a place that all you got to do is say, get them, God. And He will.
Hallelujah.
We live in a hostile world. What you got to, faith does not negate you from sickness, trouble, disappointment. That's the hardest thing in pastoring a faith church is when heartaches come to people you love that's been in faith. And what can you say to them? You just say, God's with you. Don't understand it all. Don't know why. But I trust Him. But folks, there are a lot of times I watch my own people throw in the towel right before victory. Thank God, Miriam. You fought. Brother Joe, there have been many times we've had secret meetings. Now, don't say that. She wouldn't say nothing bad about you. She'd just say, pray, Pastor Mike. And I'd say to her, God, I'll handle him. When the appointed time comes, God, I'll handle him. And she never gave up on you, Brother Joe. And when she came to this church 14 years ago, she was the most weakest one. She was. Her mouth would fly, man, blah, 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 about circumstances. But she stood and fought for what she believed. Thank God, Jeff. You had a fighter with you. When you were having a heart attack, that I didn't buckle under that. Cave in and say, oh, my brother's going to die. I'm going to give up. I quoted every scripture in the. I made up scriptures. I prayed everything I could pray and prayed things that probably nobody ever heard. While those people looked around and asked him, are you a smoker? Shut up! Believe! Brother Jefferson said, he couldn't even say nothing. He said, pray. Pray. He's dying, man. He couldn't breathe. Foam coming out of his mouth. Shaking like a leaf. He was dying. But thank God the fight of faith rose up. I didn't have to put my brother in the grave. But he's standing here reaping victory and blessing. Because he fought the fight of faith. Don't give up. Don't cave in. Fight. Put your hands up. I'm going to pray for everybody today that God will have a moment in your life today with all the difficulties that you've had and places you be in. May the Holy Spirit, Father, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, your word has went forth with power and anointing. And Lord, we receive your word today. No longer will we cave in, give up, bail out. No longer will we.